back, WNST, AM 1570, and BaltimorePositive.com. We call them Wise Conversations around here. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. I'm giving you a little bit of a break, although I did have a Pappas crab cake in the middle of halftime on Sunday's game that was left over from Friday. Had a great Maryland crab cake tour stop out there. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We had a $20 winner on our Ravens scratch-off on Sunday in the back room over at Pappas, and some great, great guests. Mike Bordick joined us along with both clerics, Adam Cleric and Frank Cleric. All the clerics were there. Brothers, sisters, mothers, in-laws, everybody came out for crab cakes in Cockeysville on Friday. So we had a great time out there. David Steele also joined us and had a great chat with Angelo Rodriguez about his Ecuadorian team that was successful to start the World Cup. So a lot of World Cup heads out there. Go USA. I'm not wearing my USA gear, but I'll get my Window Nation USA gear at. This guy didn't care about soccer. He's too busy watching all things football and getting himself boned up on baseball and the hot stove. We welcome Luke Jones back onto the program. Of course, he was in the locker room. They let him there after games on Sunday. He was there with the Ravens and picking up the pieces of all of this and getting ready for Jacksonville this week. Dude, the one thing I would say for all of this is week in and week out, and I have been subjected to life on the couch the last 11 weeks, much like during the plague. I'm watching a lot of football, man, and it is compelling entertainment. Certainly even the Bengals and the Steelers playing into the afternoon on Sunday and looking at them and saying, oh, we got to go play them. I wonder if the Bengals are going to wear their white uniforms when we get there or not. What's going on, man? This is a nice little turning point for the Ravens to be 7-3 because it's no fun talking about them right now because the game wasn't much fun.
Well, but it's fun to win. And on the flip side, we see results every single week where you kind of scratch your head, whether it's the better team losing or just a closer than expected game, like we saw with the Ravens against the Panthers until the halfway point of the fourth quarter when they went up 10. But I think Sunday was another reminder of just how strange this league is and how much parity and at times flat out mediocrity we see. I mean, look at the Jets-Patriots game. That's 3-3 until New England returns a punt in the final seconds for a touchdown. And a Jets team that has, you know, that's still 6-4, they have a quarterback problem. Zach Wilson's not cutting it. I mean, not even close. I mean, talk about a post-game locker room that's uncomfortable. Some of the comments there where, you know, you're hearing Robert Saleh and some of the other offensive players, and then Zach Wilson's asked, did you let the defense down today? And he says, no, you know, talking about the offense. Well, clearly they did. They only scored 3 points. So you see that, you see the Bills and what they went through and some reason didn't go to Detroit on Thursday like they should have, but they made it there anyway. And they shake off a slow start against Cleveland. And, you know, even the Eagles coming off of their first loss of the season, you know, certainly a choppy performance in Indianapolis against Jeff Saturday's Colts. So, you know, certainly some interesting games, some games that weren't necessarily the most pleasing from an aesthetic standpoint, but you win, you keep stacking wins as the Ravens are, and you look around the rest of the league and, you know, you see an AFC right now that Kansas City's at the top and it feels like they should be at the top right now, just looking at how they played overall, but still plenty of teams that are right in the thick of it. And I think what's interesting for the Ravens, we know the season doesn't end right now. Let's be very clear about this. But if it were to end today, the Ravens would be hosting a first-round game against Buffalo. So I think it's a big reminder that knowing that Miami or Buffalo is most likely going to, you know, one of those teams is most likely going to have the top wild card, whoever doesn't win the division. So you'd really like to get out of that number four spot. So that's where it's just important for the Ravens to do what they did on Sunday, win, because you look at their schedule compared to the rest of this AFC, other than maybe Kansas City, it's pretty reasonable, right? Compared to some of the slates that some of these other teams have, like Cincinnati, for example. So just keep winning. Keep trying to get better. And meanwhile, you look around the rest of the league and that's what they're trying to do. But I think Sunday, another example of just how much parity / mediocrity we continue to see, even if it's still entertaining in the process.
Well, Luke, you know, I pooped all over the Bills organization for moving the game to Detroit and then getting literally every... These stories of like Josh Allen's neighbors and snow blowers and the team CFO running around and with a snow blower, like, what were they thinking? And then beyond that, on short notice, knowing that they had to play 3 days later, I don't know why they didn't go and stay and come back to seven feet of snow. they won the game, right? So let's, for all the adversity and all of that that they will talk about if they win a Super Bowl this year, that they actually had to move a game because of 7 feet of snow, and that the Ravens would have to go in there and play in Buffalo. And the fact that, like, Josh Allen threw that pick, I saw Bill Cowher beating him up before the game on Sunday. By the way, the pregame shows you're missing nothing, Luke. I think you know that from the weekends. You are home. It's terrible. But at least the CBS thing does have some sense from time to time when it's not shtick. But the tie would have been important to them in regard to keeping home field advantage, making that happen. They sort of peed things away for a couple of weeks, and now they've come back and, you know, bit the bullet again, right? They're back on this after losing for a couple of weeks. They play again on short notice. I still think the Bills are the most talented team out of all of these teams. I think the Chiefs have the best quarterback for sure, and I think the Dolphins have the best offensive sort of explosion. But as much as we talked about Lamar and bad weather and Lamar going and playing in Miami would feel to me them better than Lamar playing in Baltimore in week one, quite frankly, the playoffs.
It's quite possible, and that's what's interesting about it. I think one of the more interesting developments beyond just the craziness of the Bills having to relocate, not flying out Thursday, and hearing all the stories. I mean, I think it's kind of cool to hear the citizens of Orchard Park digging out some of these players so they could get to the airport. I mean,
but it shouldn't have come to that.
No, I understand. I understand. No, I totally agree. But I think what was the most interesting development from a football standpoint is the Bills found a running game on Sunday, which is the one thing they have not been able to do consistently other than Josh Allen running the ball, which, you know, as much as we've spent time talking about Lamar Jackson and, you know, the health element and how many carries is too many carries and how many hits are too many hits. You know, you could say the same thing about Josh Allen. He's bigger. Yeah. But you still don't want him taking a bunch of hits, and you want some other guys that can carry the ball and lighten his workload a little bit. So I thought that was an interesting development there. And I think what you just said is interesting. I agree with that. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback. I think for as much as, you know, Josh Allen's been in that conversation, I mean, certainly Lamar 3 years ago, unanimous MVP and deservedly so. Tua right now, you have to give him credit, but he's done it for half a season. It's been fabulous, but it's been half a season. So I think, yes, they have the best quarterback. I think Buffalo has the most talent, although keep in mind, Bills have been banged up and they've endured a lot of injuries. At some point in time, that catches up to you. And maybe as much as we talked about Josh Allen making some mistakes over the last couple losses for them, you also do point to how many guys have been missing, specifically on the defensive side of the ball for them. So, and Miami, I think, is the fascinating wild card because of just how that offense is just humming. You know, it's been as good as the Ravens, Bills, Chiefs at any point over the last 3-4 years when those teams, those offenses specifically, have been at their best. That's how good Miami's been right, you know, is right now offensively. Really, any game that Tua has played, you know, other than the games that he didn't play when he was out with the concussion, you know, their offense has been fantastic. So it really is an interesting dynamic in that way when you look at those teams. And at this point, you know, even though Buffalo's defense overall body of work has been still been good, I do think you look at the Ravens defensively where, you know, that's the really interesting wild card to ponder as we get later into the season, and assuming the Ravens continue to trend upward defensively the way they had the last two or three games. So it is interesting in that way. And what you mentioned, I mean, ultimately it comes down to matchups in the playoffs. And part of that does include where you're playing. You know, is it chilly, windy, cold, snowy Buffalo? Same thing for Kansas City, Baltimore to a lesser degree. Or do you play a game in Miami if the Dolphins win that division? And what does the weather mean for anyone in that instance? So it is fascinating in that way. But I think, you know, we've got a really interesting race ahead here where I think Kansas City, you look at their schedule, it's probably not quite as favorable as the Ravens schedule, but it's close, I would say, when you look at it, especially considering they took care of the Chargers on the road on Sunday night, which was a heck of an entertaining football game. But they're the favorite right now to be the number one seed, but certainly the Bills, the Dolphins, the Ravens are all still very much in that conversation. So that's where these games continue to be so important, and that's where you look at the Ravens right now, and we could talk about the eyeball test or, you know, style points, which certainly there weren't many for the Ravens on Sunday, but you play 3-7 football teams over the next 4 weeks. That's where you look at this race and you feel good about the Ravens based on their schedule alone, let alone talking about what they did defensively. So it's going to be a fun rest of the way for the AFC in terms of sorting out what these top five seeds look like. And I should at least mention Tennessee. I don't think the Titans are as nearly as talented as the teams I just mentioned, but
they can run you over on a given day.
Well, there's that, and you just have to give Mike Vrabel credit. I mean, this guy can coach. At some point in time, we have to keep saying, okay, well, yeah, it's Ryan Tannehill, and you know, how long are you going to run Derrick Henry into the ground? And you know, their defense is good, but they lose players, and you know, go down the list of reasons why they can't sustain it, and lo and behold, they're right there and they're leading their division. And I get it. The AFC South certainly isn't a division of heavyweights in the way you talk about the AFC East right now, but they find a way to get it done. So these top five teams, and I don't want to disrespect the Bengals guys. They can compete with some of the teams I just mentioned, but I think schedule wise and record wise, it's going to be really tough for them to crack that top five. I mean, I just don't think they're going to be able to overtake the Ravens at the end of the day, barring major injuries, anything like that. So, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see when we're talking about this the second week of January, just what those top five seeds, top six seeds are looking like in the AFC. Don't really think much of the Jets or the Patriots or teams that are kind of in that next tier, but I think there's a lot of intrigue as far as how this is going to play out over the next 7 or 8 weeks.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke and LukeWNST.net. You can also find him through the holidays out on the social media as long as Uncle Elon allows the tweets to continue. I'm working on Mastodon on our account, though, Luke. We'll get us out into social media someplace else. But what happened to the Vikings and where are the Eagles in all this, right? Like, we talk about the AFC teams and all these teams at the top. I mean, the Cowboys just went and beat the snot out of Minnesota, up in Minnesota, and I don't think they're a very good football team. Boy, the NFC feels like, an 8-point underdog in February in Glendale right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people are a little too hasty to pile on the criticism for the Eagles. I mean, they lost one game. Now, let's be clear about that. And some of their metrics stack up much more favorably than the Vikings. I want to say this, first of all, and it's not that in any way anticipated the Cowboys beating them in the way that they did. I mean, that was just an absolute beatdown. Ravens fans are probably wondering, why isn't anyone talking about the Ravens defense holding Carolina to 3 points? It's because the Cowboys defense held the Vikings to three on the road, mind you. But I thought it was laughable to see the Vikings listed as number one on anyone's power rankings last week. I mean, do we watch the games or are we just going by win-loss record? I mean, if we just want to do win-loss record, then power rankings are a meaningless exercise. It just go by standings then, and then we don't have to do it. So that point aside, as far as my belief that the Vikings weren't nearly as good as 8-1 would indicate, it's still 8-1, and you still want to give them their props to a degree. But, I mean, that Dallas defense, you have to give them credit. I mean, Micah Parsons is... You know, we're seeing it's looking like this guy's going to be a perennial defensive player of the year candidate. That's how talented he is. But you know, the rest of that defense playing really well. And you know, you kind of see when they get a better version of Dak Prescott and they're able to run the football, and you know, they still have, you know, not the collection of weapons they had a couple years ago, but still, you know, still have some weapons. You know, that's a Dallas team that can still be really good. So you know, I'm not burying the Vikings entirely. I just thought the idea that anyone who's actually watched the games would put them ahead of Kansas City, even Buffalo, quite frankly, put them ahead of Philadelphia, that made me laugh because I didn't think there was any way. So they came back to earth. Doesn't mean that they're done, but I think the Vikings are a good team. Do I think they're a great team? No, but they found ways to win. You give them credit for that. But you know, to go back to your point about the NFC, yeah, I still like Philadelphia the best, but certainly, you know, the Eagles, you know, they had a grind, to put it mildly, for them. They were fortunate to come out of that one, you know, with the way that they were playing earlier in that football game against Indianapolis. But, you know, certainly some teams are trying to exploit them, you know, with the run. And they have made a couple of moves, Linval Joseph and Ndamukong Suh, to try to shore up their run defense. But I still think they're the best team in the NFC, but you do look at that NFC right now. Philadelphia, Dallas, Minnesota still, begrudgingly. I mean, they're still
Nobody's
eight
afraid of
and
the
two,
49ers.
but
Nobody's afraid of, these teams are pedestrian at best, really.
I
I
don't
mean,
know.
the Packers are a mess. I mean, all those teams are a mess.
I'll stop you at the 49ers. I actually think of that tier, their defense is playing at a high level. And with Christian McCaffrey and that collection of weapons, certainly there's the questions about Garoppolo. I get that. But they do have Debo Samuel still. They still have George Kittle. They have Christian McCaffrey. Of that next tier, they're the team that, to me, looks the most dangerous. But I'm with you. I mean, look at the Giants. They've been such a good story, but what the hell was that on Sunday for the G-Men? I mean, that was not impressive. So, you look at but your general point that you made about the NFC compared to the AFC, yeah. I mean, I think top to bottom, the AFC, not top to bottom, because there are some bad teams. I mean, Houston's terrible, and Denver and the Raiders. I mean, you look at those teams. I mean, they're not good football teams, but say the top half of the AFC compared to the top half of the NFC. Yeah, there's much more talent, much more, a greater collection of dangerous teams that you could at least envision making a Super Bowl run. Whereas in the NFC right now, Philadelphia, Minnesota, I guess, Dallas,
Somebody's going to
I
the
mean, the
Super Bowl from that
Cowboys.
group. This group we're discussing. One of these teams is going to emerge.
Well, and that's why I just said, I mean, I still think San Francisco is a team that could emerge there, but we've seen that, and we've seen their shortcomings there. I mean, there's a reason why they wanted to replace Jimmy Garoppolo. So, are they going to go back to that well? I mean, they have no choice right now. Trey Lance is gone for the year, so it will be fascinating to see how it plays out. But lots of interesting football to go, and certainly looking at these two conferences, I think the AFC better overall, and certainly better at the very top. But you have some interesting races that are still going to play out here to kind of see what this looks like. I mean, we say it all the time, comes down to matchups. There's only one first round bye in each conference now, rather than two, with that change a couple years ago. So beyond that, it really does become a case of, if you're the Ravens, if you're not going to get the number one seed, you don't want to be playing Buffalo or Miami in the first round, or whoever. You don't want to be playing one of those elites in the first round. You want to try to delay that. You'd much rather be playing New England, let's say,
Well, don't say
in that
Tennessee
first
because we said
round.
that a couple years ago. Be careful what you wish for.
Oh, and that's
They wish for Jacksonville this week. They better beat them.
no question, no question. And of course, yes, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we can do that. We don't
That's what we
play.
do when every
Right.
team in front of us is 3-7 and
Exactly.
you barely beat a 3-7 team by, a touchdown that you barely earned, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly, I mean, to go back to it, I mean, it's how they played against Carolina was good enough against Carolina. Would it be good enough against the next four 3-7 teams are going to play? I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. So good news is it's one game. We'll forget about it. We'll probably never talk about this game again unless we find out that the Ronnie Stanley injury or the Kyle Hamilton injury is more serious than what the Ravens are hoping right now, at least. That beyond that, this is one of those games that, as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, soon to be forgotten, and that's okay. You don't need every game to be a referendum on how great you are or how bad you are. This is one of those games where it's ugly, beautiful on the defensive side of the ball, very ugly on the offensive side of the ball. A win, though, and you move on, and you're focusing on Jacksonville, as you mentioned, a team that, coming off a bye week, has looked pretty good at times, despite being 3-7. It's a team that need to go out and put together a much more complete effort than they did on Sunday.
I'll be watching the World Cup all week, in the mornings and in the afternoon. I got my Vuvuzela out. I'll be having all that going on. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour is taking a little respite this week. It is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody out there. I'm wearing my Goodwill swag. We're going to be serving a lot of folks on Wednesday morning down at the Baltimore Convention Center. If anybody wants to volunteer, throw me a note, ness@baltimorepositive.com. Be glad to have you out. Say hello. Roll our sleeves up for a good cause. In the meantime, we'll get the Crab Cake Tour going next week. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have some Raven scratch offs. We had a $20 winner at Pappas the other day when we sat down with Mike Bordick and Adam Kolarik and his dad, Frank, to talk about League of Dreams, as well as David Steele talking about his book on race and culture. You can find all of that out at BaltimorePositive.com as we get ready for a great, great holiday around here and some Thanksgiving football. Three games on Thursday. Getting ready for Jacksonville on Sunday. 74 degrees and sunny, which will play nice into the kicking game and hopefully the throw it around game of Lamar Jackson this week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, at AM 1570. We never stop talking Baltimore. Positive.